Please turn again to 1 John chapter 5. The text of Scripture I want to leave with you as we come to deal with this subject tonight, the assurance of salvation, is a very familiar text, I'm sure, to most of us. It's verse 13 of 1 John chapter 5. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's bow in prayer with God's word open before us and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. We thank thee that it's the entrance of thy word that giveth light. And O God, we pray that you'll come and lighten all our hearts this evening, especially those in the meeting who are not saved. O God, we pray that you'll save them. And we pray, Lord, that ere this meeting goes out into eternity, that they will have the knowledge of heaven, the assurance of heaven. And O God, we pray for maybe Christians tonight who lack assurance. We pray, O God, that thy word would come with power to their hearts. We thank thee for the written word. And we thank thee, Lord, and we praise thee for the scriptures of truth. Lord, bless thy word now to every heart. And Lord, those of us who are saved and walking with thee for many years and have the assurance of salvation, Lord, may this truth again bless our hearts and encourage us in these days. Fill us now with thy gracious Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. A number of years ago, when I was in Scotland, I had a conversation with a young Roman Catholic man about the Bible. It was evident as we had our conversation that this young man was very devout in his religion. He was sincere. And as we talked about the Word of God, we discussed many different topics. But then, in the midst of the conversation, I asked him this question. I said to him, if you were to die now, right this very minute, have you the assurance that you're going to heaven? Of course, he quickly answered me by saying no. No one can have such assurance until the judgment day. Of course, this is what the Roman Catholic Church teach. They teach the sin of presumption. And they teach and say that it is a sin to presume before you die that you're going to heaven. I often think of that young Roman Catholic man, and I often pray for him, and I often wonder, did he ever come to a knowledge of sins forgiven? Men and women, what the Roman Catholic Church teach is absolutely wrong. Because when we turn to the Word of God, the Bible tells us very clearly and very simply that sinful men can know that they're going to heaven. Sinful men can have the assurance before they die and go out into eternity that they're going to glory. Here in our text, we see this taught very clearly. And very simply tonight at the end of this gospel meeting, I want to draw your attention to this text of Scripture and to this subject, assurance of salvation. And my prayer is that, first of all, if you're not saved, that the Lord will speak to your heart, and even before this meeting is over, that you will have the assurance of heaven. And maybe there's a Christian here tonight, a young Christian, maybe an older Christian, and you haven't got the assurance of salvation. My prayer tonight is that the Lord will write his word upon your heart as well. And even in the course of this message, this meeting tonight, that the Lord will give you the assurance of salvation. Now, as we come to look at this subject, and I want to look at it very simply, I want you to notice a number of things. First of all, I want you to notice the knowledge of assurance. Underline the words in verse 13, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. There's no greater blessing upon this earth than to know that you're going to heaven. Indeed, there's no greater blessing upon this earth than to know that you have eternal life. And the truth is this, we can know. Having the knowledge and the assurance before you die that you're definitely going to heaven, it's a scriptural principle. It's a scriptural truth. What good is a salvation that does not give you the assurance of everlasting life? Sure, it's useless. The Bible teaches that we can know that we have eternal life. And this truth can be seen when we read the statements of godly saints in the Bible. The psalmist David said in Psalm 23, verse 6, and I'm sure you're all familiar with the 23rd Psalm. Well, here's what David said in verse 6 of that Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a statement of knowledge, of assurance. David did not say that he hoped to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, or that he might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No, it's a dogmatic statement. And this is what David says. He says, thinking about his death and what's going to happen to him after death, he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Job the patriarch said in Job 19, verse 25 and 26, Job said this, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Again, it's a statement of confidence and assurance. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The Apostle John said in 1 John 3 and verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. And the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1 verses 4 and 5, he speaks of an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for him who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And of course, in verse 9, Peter says this, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Therefore, it is a fact that we can have the knowledge and assurance before we die that we have a home in heaven. And of course, that's what our text is teaching in 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 13, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Now, friend, here's the question that I want to ask you tonight as you're gathered here in this gospel meeting. Do you have the knowledge and the assurance of everlasting life? As you sit in God's house this evening, do you know that you are on your way to heaven? Let me ask you the same question as I asked that young Roman Catholic man many years ago. If you were to die right now, sitting in the pew where you're at, would you be assured that you'd be in heaven? Have you got the knowledge and the assurance that if you were to take your last breath now, that it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Have you the assurance that the psalmist had? Have you the assurance that Job had? Have you the assurance that John and Peter and the Apostle Paul all spoke of? Oh, we sang that hymn that Fanny Crosby wrote, and what a lovely hymn it is, but it is a hymn of the knowledge of assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of blood, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. My friend, if you cannot say this evening, and if you have not this knowledge and assurance that you're going to heaven, you can leave God's house this evening knowing that you are heaven bound. You can leave God's house tonight with full assurance that you're on your way to heaven. Because our text says, and you should underline it in your Bible, and especially if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not saved by the grace of God, write these words down. Underline them. Underscore them. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. The knowledge of assurance. Now there's something else I want you to notice here. Take a look at our text again in verse 13. I want you to notice not only the knowledge of assurance that we can know, but I want you to notice secondly the recipients of this assurance. In other words, who has God given this assurance to? Who has the Lord imparted this knowledge to? Well, of course, when you look at the text, the answer is very simple. The Lord has given this assurance to all those who are saved and who have by faith believed on the name of the Son of God. Look at the text. These things have I written unto you. So, John here is writing to a particular group of people. And of course, the particular group of people that he's writing to are those who have believed on Christ. Look what it says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. This knowledge and assurance of eternal life is only given to those, it is only promised to those who have believed on the name of the Son of God. You see, the recipients of this knowledge and assurance of heaven is given to all of those and only to all of those who have by faith accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. The psalmist David, the patriarch Job, the apostle John, the apostle Peter, the apostle Paul, and indeed all the saints of God in the Bible, they had a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our text is speaking about a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what David said in that Psalm 23, the first verse, you know it so well. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He spoke of a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Again, personal faith. Paul said on many occasions in his writings, my God. Again, Paul had a personal faith in the Lord Jesus. You remember what Thomas said when speaking of Christ, my Lord and my God. Again, personal faith. You remember what Mary said on one occasion. She said this, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. And you'll note, very simply, the personal pronoun in all of those texts of Scripture. Therefore, the recipients of those who have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior are those who have come to a knowledge of sins forgiven. The recipients are those who have a personal faith in Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. Sinner, if you want to have this knowledge and assurance that you're going to heaven when you die, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior. Put your faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And if you do, then you will have assurance and you will go to glory when you take your last breath upon this earth. Isn't it wonderful, child of God, that the Lord has blessed us with his word and blessed us with this wonderful promise of eternal life? My friend, if you're not a Christian here tonight, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, you too can have this assurance. You too can have this knowledge. But you must come and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior. You must, by faith, believe in him and accept him as your Redeemer. You must believe that he died for you.
shed his precious blood for you. You must believe that he rose again the third day. You must believe that he ascended up into heaven and that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. You must believe that he's coming again. Indeed, you must believe the biblical record of the Son of God. I wonder, and again, the question is directed to you tonight, if you're not saved, have you ever bowed the knee by faith at the foot of the cross, acknowledging that you are the sinner, acknowledging that Jesus Christ died for you, and accepting him into your heart and life as your own and personal Redeemer? My friend, if you come tonight and trust him and be saved, then you can leave this meeting this evening as one of the redeemed, as one of the saints of God. And you can leave this meeting tonight with this knowledge and assurance that you're going to heaven. There's a wonderful text of Scripture. I want you to keep your hand in 1 John chapter 5. And I want you to turn over just for a moment to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here we have Paul, and he's writing to the saints of God. And again, he's writing about this subject of assurance of salvation. And listen to what Paul said to the saints of God. And of course, let me emphasize again, these saints of God are saints of God because they have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus. They were saved and born again of the Spirit of God. And here's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, down to 11. He said to them, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." God hath not appointed us to judgment. God hath not appointed us to hell. That's what it literally means. "But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." My, what a tremendous portion of Scripture. As far as having knowledge, the knowledge of heaven, the assurance of heaven is concerned. Child of God, isn't it wonderful that the Lord has redeemed us, saved us from hell, forgiven us for our sin? He's preparing us a home in heaven. And someday we're going to enter into glory and we're going to spend all eternity in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And no one can take it from us. No one can take that wonderful salvation that God has given to us from us. Because Jesus said, and here's the promise again, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand." Oh, the recipients of assurance. The recipients of this knowledge. I wonder tonight, at the close of this gospel meeting, let me ask you the question again. Do you know that you're going to heaven? Are you sure that you're going to heaven? Well, if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your eternal salvation, the Bible tells us here in 1 John 5, verse 13, "Ye may know that ye have eternal life." We're going home to glory soon to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there. My friend, would you not come trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior this evening? Would you not come and receive this wonderful salvation? Would you not come tonight and leave God's house knowing that you're on your way to heaven? Because you can know. That's what the text of Scripture is teaching us. Indeed, you must know. But there's something else I want you to see here. Turn back again to 1 John chapter 5. Not only do I want you to notice the knowledge of assurance, not only do I want you to notice the recipients of this assurance, but I want you to notice, thirdly, the basis of this assurance. How can we know that we're saved and are going to heaven? What is the basis or the foundation of this knowledge and assurance? My friend, our faith, those of us who are saved, it's not a blind faith. Our faith has a foundation. Therefore, the knowledge and the assurance that I'm going to heaven is based upon something. What is it based upon? How do we know and how can we be sure that heaven is our home? Well, I want to emphasize very simply three things here. First of all, we know and are sure that heaven is our home because of the promise of the Word of God. Look what it says in verse 13 of 1 John 5. These things have I written unto you. Underline it. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God in his word promises that all who believe and are saved will have eternal life. The Bible is full of promises to this fact. Now, it would take me from now to next week to quote all the promises of God's word on this subject. But let me just quote you a few of them. First of all, John 3 verse 36 says this, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Now that's the promise of God. That's God's word. That's God's promise to all those who trust Christ as Savior. John 10 verse 27 and 28, I've already quoted it, but let me quote it again. The words of Christ, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand." That's the promise of God's precious word, the words of the Savior. John 11, verse 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." My friend, how do I know I'm saved? How do I know I'm going to heaven? Because God promises me in his word that if I trust in him, if I come and repent of my sin and by faith accept Jesus Christ is my Savior, he will save me. And he will save me forever. He will give me everlasting life. Another verse that comes to mind, and we all know it so well, John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." These are the promises of God's word. My friend, you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not a Christian. You said to me, "Well, how can I be saved?" Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior. How can I know that I'm saved? You know that you're saved because God's word has promised that if you come as a sinner and put your trust in the Savior, he will save you. And he will save you eternally. God's word takes my doubts away. My friend, I can remember when I was saved. And I can remember reading these verses for the first time. And when I was first saved, I had doubts. Was I really saved? Am I truly saved? And then the Lord revealed these wonderful verses to me. My friend, assurance flooded my heart and flooded my soul. I don't doubt my salvation anymore. Because to doubt my salvation is to doubt God. To question my salvation is to question God. God's word declares, if I believe, he will save me. If I trust his Son, he will redeem me. He will give me everlasting life. Well, here's the basis of this knowledge. The basis of this assurance is the promise of God's precious word. But there's something else I want you to notice. We know and are sure that heaven is our home, not only because of the promise of the word, but because of the pardon of the blood. Turn over to 1 John 1 verse 7, back there to that first chapter. And look at the latter part of the verse. It says this, "But the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." God has promised his people everlasting life on the basis, listen to it, on the basis of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Because of the precious blood that Jesus shed on the cross for our sins, we are pardoned. And because we are pardoned by that precious blood, God cannot and will not deny us a home in heaven. The blood of Christ has bought and purchased this blessing of eternal life for us. My friend, I'm going to heaven. I'm sure I'm going to heaven because of the sacrifice of Calvary. When the Lord Jesus Christ cried, "It is finished," man's redemption was accomplished once and for all. God cannot deny me a home in heaven. Because to deny me a home in heaven is to deny the work that his Son accomplished for me upon the cross of Calvary. God cannot keep me out of heaven, because to keep me out of heaven, he has to deny the precious blood that the Savior shed for my sins upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. There's no doubt about it, I'm going to heaven. There's no doubt about it, I'll be in glory. Because God said himself, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Isn't that what he said to Moses and the children of Israel when they were in Egypt? When he told them to kill the lamb and to take the lamb's blood and to sprinkle it upon the doorposts and the lintels of the houses. "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And that's exactly what happened. When the death angel came in Exodus, when the death angel saw the blood, he passed over. And no one died in that home because of the blood of the Lamb. My friend, I'm going to heaven. I'm sure I'm going to heaven because of the precious blood that the Lord Jesus shed upon the cross. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But you know, there's another reason I want you to notice here. The basis of knowledge, of assurance, of heaven. We know that we're sure, we know and are sure that we're going to heaven, not only because of the promise of the Word of God, not only because of the pardon of the blood of Christ, but we know and are sure that we're going to heaven because of the provision of the Holy Spirit. When a sinner is saved, and I have preached this many, many times, and you'll know this if you're saved and love the Lord. When a sinner is saved, the Holy Spirit enters into them and they're born from above. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a seal of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is a witness within us that we are the children of God. Now, keep your hand in 1 John chapter 5 for a moment and turn over very quickly to Romans chapter 8. And I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says here under this inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And of course, as he comes to write here, he's writing to God's people, and he is writing again on this subject of the knowledge of assurance. How we know we're saved, how we know we're going to heaven. Look what he says in verse 15 of Romans 8, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." My friend, before I was saved, my heart was full of fear. I was afraid of dying because I knew the moment I would die, I'd be in hell for all eternity. I was afraid to go to bed at night and go to sleep because I was afraid that in the middle of the night when I was asleep that I would die and be lost forever. Oh, the fear that gripped my heart before I was a Christian. I pray that that fear grips your heart tonight if you're not saved in this meeting. The fear of dying, going out into a lost sinner's hell. Because, my friend, that's exactly where you'll be if you die without this knowledge and this assurance of eternal life. That's exactly where you'll be if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, before these people were saved, they had fear. But listen to what Paul says in verse 15. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children," here's the witness of the Holy Spirit within us. Here's the work of the Holy Ghost within us. Here's the provision of the Holy Ghost that the Lord has given to us. The moment we were saved, we were born from above, the Holy Spirit entered into us. And what a witness he is within us. Because the Spirit itself, verse 16, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, underline verse 17, if children, then heirs. Here is the assurance through the provision of the Spirit. Then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Listen to it. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall, that we may be also glorified together. Isn't that wonderful? That's the word of God. My friend, here's the basis of this confidence, this assurance. We don't have confidence in ourselves. We're not going to heaven because we have done something or we deserve heaven. We deserve nothing but judgment. But praise God, because of the blood that he shed, because of the work that he finished, because of the word of his promise, because of the Spirit that is within us, we know that we are heaven bound. My friend, in this meeting tonight, and the meeting is over, at the close of this service, have you this assurance? Can you plead these promises as your promises? Has the blood cleansed you from your sin? Are you trusting in the blood of the Lamb to cleanse you from all your sin? Or are you trusting in your good works? Are you trusting in your church going? My, it'll never give you assurance, and it'll never bring you to heaven. Religion in itself will never save a soul. Have you the witness of the Holy Spirit within you? Oh, you can have. But that's why you need to be regenerated. That's why you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. And that's why the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Born from above. Born of God's Holy Spirit, because that's what it means literally. And Nicodemus, with all the trappings of Judaism, couldn't get into heaven without being born again of the Spirit of God. And that night he met Jesus. He was born again. And the Spirit of God entered into him, and he was born from above, and he was redeemed for time and for eternity. And you can be born again tonight. You can be saved tonight. You can have this assurance of heaven. Oh, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And then look what the last part of the verse says. It's an exhortation. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Oh, because Christ has died. And because you can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And because you can have this assurance and have this confidence that you're on your way to heaven. Then come and believe on the Lord Jesus. Oh, my friend, I have all confidence tonight in exhorting you to come and trust Christ as your Savior. I have all confidence in saying that. I have confidence in the gospel tonight, because the gospel can change your life, and the gospel can give you this assurance by coming and putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Would you come tonight? Would you come this night? This very moment, would you come? My friend, if you do, you'll not only leave this church with your sins forgiven, you'll not only leave this church as a Christian, as a child of God, but you'll leave this church tonight with the knowledge of knowing, with the assurance in your heart and life that it's well with your soul, and you'll know that you're on your way to heaven. I pray that you'll come. Let's all pray.